Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Firings,
yes.
Trades while the show was going on because we didn't have any social media.
No.
Apparently, he's still active on social media.
He follows me.
He's 82 years young. Yeah. Does he follow you?
Yeah, he follows everyone, though.
Well, he's following 25,000 people.
But
God
like,
love him.
When I say the name like Peter Vesey, like I think of Bob Costas and his soliloquies. He would have these like long written out like monologues at the beginning of all these. And he'd be sitting at like a production studio, like a movie studio. You know what I'm talking about? Like one of those chairs. What do they call those? I don't even.
What do you mean?
You know when you see like the director sitting at one of those wooden like chairs?
Director's chair?
The director's chair. Bob Costas would be sitting at half court and then he would deliver this monologue. Matt, do you understand what I'm trying to like, the picture I'm trying to paint?
I love your paintings.
And then they would like turn and it would be like, it would be either, you know, Tom Tolbert at one time. I remember when it was Tolbert and it was Bill Walton, but I think that was ABC. I don't think that was NBC.
No, I think it was NBC because I was watching Like Mike, which is a movie from the year 2000 with Lil Bow Wow and Benny Loves It. It's about this kid that gets Michael Jordan's North Carolina shoes and he gets like shocked from the power lines and he gets like the powers of Michael Jordan whenever he puts on these shoes, basically. And he's like a little kid, right? So he gets to play in the NBA. It's one of those stories. And in one of the segments, and Lil Bow Wow in this case, his name is Calvin Cambridge. He's an orphan and he's at an orphanage, and Tom Tolbert and Hannah Storm NBC Sports halftime crew in the studio.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty funny just to see old school Tom Tolbert from 25 years ago, basically.
You got to understand that, like, when you only had the handful of channels, right? You didn't have, like, the way that is presented on ESPN the last, let's say, 10 years. You'd have Stephen A. and Bob Myers and Kendrick Perkins. It's just like, it's like a bunch of hot air, okay? When I was a kid, and I'm not trying to say it was better then, I was just saying it was different. You had Mr. Journalism, Bob Costas, and he would write down an essay. He was obviously reading off a teleprompter and he'd have his little notes, but he would have this full like essay on the two teams that were playing, and it would be from a journalist background, and the production level of what you were seeing was through the roof, and it would set the scene or the table. You've got Michael Jordan, the two-time champs, and they're playing in the Boston Garden on a Sunday morning, or they're at Madison Square Garden and the fans hate them and the last seven times that they've played, and it was like make the whole scene just get elevated. And like the presentation of NBC was through the roof. And because there was only a handful of channels, it was the only thing that was on. I don't know.
It's a great point.
It really makes me like nostalgic.
It's a great point because I felt like this for a long time as you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live from the Free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. I felt for a while now, ESPN's coverage of the NBA Finals has just not felt big time.
No, there wasn't pomp and circumstance.
It just hasn't been there. And you know, unfortunately, it's kind of coincided with the loss of Stuart Scott. Once Stuart Scott kind of stepped away, he was the one that made it feel big time for me as a kid. When it was him, Magic. I think John Barry was on there. I thought John Barry was really good.
John Barry was great.
It was him. I think Mike Wilbon was on there as well. But this is before Wilbon. This is before Wilbon was oversaturated. So I liked Wilbon on that set, but it felt big time with Stuart Scott. I don't know how else to describe it. And since he, and obviously rest in peace, since he's, you know, part of this earth, they've tried to replace him. And they really just have not been able to do that. And you can't replace a guy like that, but it's just never felt big time. And I'm hoping that with NBC and now Amazon on board, they can get back to it feeling big time. TNT did thrive. I felt big time Ernie and all those boys. Yeah.
No Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, probably.
Look, Stephen A. has his place in media, but not on like pre and post game shows. I just like that you bring up Stuart Scott. See, to me, it was the rise of Stephen A. Smith. I think he's ruined basketball coverage.
And that coincided with Stuart Scott, you know, departing, right? Yeah. So there's all that. And I kind of look back as we draw it back to the NFL. It always feels big time with the NFL.
Why? Because you don't have Stephen A. Smith there.
Because it all feels, and they also promote it in a way, Joe, that makes it feel like life or death almost.
Yeah, and it should
everything
be.
Is do or die. Every win is amazing, joy, jubilation. Every loss is crushing. Our season's over, our year's over. That's how they present it, whether it's NBC, whether it's ABC or ESPN on Monday Night Football in this case, whether it's CBS, whether it's Fox, and eventually, because they're still kind of in like the birth stage of this, eventually Amazon will get there. I'm hoping it's sooner rather than later, and that might just be a change when it comes to Al Michaels, whoever takes over him, this, that, and the other. But that's what the NBA needs to get to, the NFL's level of the production. Now, talking about the NFL, and we're talking about Mac Jones and Brock Purdy. We got Brian Baldinger joining us in about 25 minutes, courtesy of River Island's Baldy Breakdowns every single Tuesday.
Can I stop you for 1 second? As you talk about the NBC, because I do think it's important. I know you want to get into the NFL.
Okay.
Trust me, I get it. Marv Albert also was one of the voices of our times. I know he's a joke now. I know we roll our eyes now.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Like, whatever Howard Cosell was to football, at a time, that's what Marv Albert was to basketball.
I remember Marv Albert not only doing the basketball, the Eastern or Western Conference playoffs and all that for TNT, he was also doing CBS football on Sundays, too.
Marv did everything. Yeah. But I associate him with Sunday basketball.
Totally.
On NBC.
His son, Kenny, by the way, Kenny Albert, who's been doing it for a long time, NHL and for Fox football, very nice man. I met him personally.
Oh, nice.
Randomly at Bay Street Emeryville in Barnes & Noble. I'll always remember that. Just a normal guy. He was calling a Giants-Reds game like for Fox over a weekend randomly. Very nice guy. So shout out Kenny Albert, too.
I do believe the, as you look at, you talk about the NFL, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, there's a level of professionalism and like, oh, they're there? It's big time, right? Like, you feel the magnitude. Marv Albert, and then I referenced Peter Vesey. You'd have like Ahmad Rashad would also, and I don't know if you guys know that name, but he was like Mr. Michael Jordan. He was an NFL player, but turned into a broadcaster.
Joe, that doc, the Jordan doc, Ahmad Rashad was like the second, like most important guy it felt like in that because he was telling all the stories.
Yes.
And him and Jordan were very tight. Yes.
I forgot he was even in that doc. Yes. I totally forgot about that. But like that, there was this level of like stardom. Like Ahmad Rashad was humongous and he did this television show for kids on the 90s Saturday morning. You know how they had This Week in Baseball? Well, they had an equivalent NBA show for kids on Saturday morning on NBC, and Ahmad Rashad would host it. And he was just great. And so I'm really excited for the Warriors and Lakers tonight on NBC. I think it's going to be freaking awesome. And then the fact that the Warriors are involved in it as they're coming back, it does, to the caller's point, it does make me feel a certain kind of way.
It's almost like it's this Christmas feeling where it's something new and something fresh, and we like that. Now, it's going to have its own period of, okay, this is cool, it's cool, until something fails and we all hate it and it's not great or whatever. But like, because that was Amazon Prime for Thursday Night Football. It was new. It was awesome. Like, okay. And then it was just like, all right, we're not really feeling this, the pre and post game crew. All right, yeah, Al Michaels, maybe NBC was right, maybe moving off of him. Kirk Herbstreit, okay, more of a college guy. It's fine. It just doesn't feel big time right now. And I'm hoping for NBC's sake, and I think it's going to be, because first and foremost, Mike Tirico is big time. And he's not done this at a huge level. Hell, he did the Baron Davis dunk with Hubie Brown, the nationally televised version. Hello, that was Mike Tirico on the call for that on AK-47, yeah.
He's
right?
done, you know, whether it's the Open, he's done the Masters, yes. he's done NBA Finals, he's done NFL. I love Tirico.
Absolutely. And he was just on the call for Sunday Night Football where the 49ers beat the Falcons 20-10 to move to 5-2 on this season. I want to hear the calls and texts from the people because we're talking about Mac Jones right now. And if we put Brock Purdy on ice, the Morning Roast is making the executive decision to put Brock Purdy on the shelf and say, Brock, get healthy. We're shutting you down. If Mac Jones is the guy Niner fans going forward, what's the ceiling with this team? Mario said, and Mario and San Rafael said, hey, we can get to the playoffs with this guy. Now, can we win a game? Probably not. That's what he felt the ceiling. Getting to the playoffs, which would seem, with all the injuries, like an amazing year.
No, I think it would be one of the better years that Shanahan's had as a Niner coach, even though it wouldn't be as deep as some of his other runs.
I'm taking it one step further. I think they can get to the NFC Championship game with Mac Jones. I truly believe that. Yeah, I know.
I want to pick this apart.
I think Mac Jones, if he remains the 49ers starter, potentially, again, you're talking about the ceiling with this team? Joe, they've only gotten to the NFC Championship team if they get to the playoffs. Kyle Shanahan isn't a one-and-done coach. He's not a two-and-done coach. He gets you to the conference title game. I'm just going off history. History has told us that. Not only with Jimmy Garoppolo, he's done it with a third-string rookie in Brock Purdy. So who's to say a former first-round pick who was more highly touted than both of those guys, that being Jimmy and Brock, what's to say he can't get there with Mac Jones? So, yes, I hear you. It sounds insane through 7 weeks.
I don't think it's that insane.
Like, we're talking about the ceiling right now with Mac Jones if he was just the starter going forward. I absolutely do because I think the NFC is wide open. I think the NFL's wide open this year, man. I talked about it before the season, Joe. I wasn't buying that Philadelphia was this juggernaut that everyone was just afraid of. They got their problems. The Lions got their problems. You watched that game last night. There was mistakes galore.
They have
from
weapons,
Jared
Goff.
They got, hey.
Oh, my God.
You have to tell me
they
twice.
They got weapons.
And they don't throw it to Jameson Williams, who's, of course, on my fantasy team.
Because they've got, like, they've got Laporta. They've got Amon-Ra St. Brown. They got Jahmyr Gibbs. They got so many mouths.
Joe, I'm being selfish. Throw it to Jameson Williams, for God's sakes, all right? Got 0 points for me yesterday, all right? But yes, but the Lions have flaws. The Bucks clearly have flaws. Mike Evans probably out for the year.
Yeah, that's a big
blow. That sucked to watch. I watched that live. Broken clavicle. He was concussed on
the
same play.
One of my favorite players.
Awful. I say all that to say it's wide open. Why not the Niners with Mac Jones? Why?
I want to chew on this at the break. I want to chew on this at the break because you kind of gut punched me and I took a step back and now I want to recalibrate and think about it for a little while. I don't know where I stand on it.
You know where I stand on this? Bruce Springsteen. My mom loves him.
The Boss?
The Boss. I got to talk about him because from 20th Century Studios on October 24th, discover why critics are calling Springsteen Deliver Me From Nowhere an intelligent journey into the soul of an artist. Jeremy Allen White is The Boss. Springsteen Deliver Me From Nowhere, only in theaters Friday. Get tickets now and for your chance to win a $100 gift card plus two movie passes for a night out. Listen all this week coming back from the 8 a.m. break for the I Love the Boss Sounder.
I have seen Springsteen from the Meadowlands to Milano, Italy. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like a Springsteen show.
I love Baldy.
Oh,
that's the
God.
Sounder. And when you hear that, you got to be caller number 5 to the contest line at 415-523-4652. And you'll win courtesy of 20th Century Studios. All that plus Baldy coming up next, brought to you by Fremont Bank, which is here for you, here for good, and also Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Warriors up 4, 59 seconds to go. Shot clock down to 5. Pajemski's just holding it up top. Dribbles on Smith Jr. Spins, fadeaway, 14-footer. Got it! He got it! Clutch shot by Pajemski, and the Rockets call a timeout. 51.5 to go. What a shot by Brandon Pajemski. And Draymond Green comes over and says, "You are one bad man."
Dub Nation is Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
What's up, Pods? Hey, last time Pods was in La La Land, a.k.a. Crypto.com Arena, he balled out against the Lake Show. Remember, he had that half-court buzzer beater. He was in that tough stretch of the season. And Tim Roy on the call right there on 95.7 The Game. You'll hear him tonight, 7 o'clock tip, against the Los Angeles Lakers. This is a nice little, what is this? A little nice little, this is a big extra plug.
Yep.
Let's go. All right. By the way, Brian Baldinger here joining us in about 11 minutes. Baldy breakdowns every single Tuesday at 7:30. Get his thoughts on the Niners. Yes, the San Francisco 49ers are 5-2 through 7 weeks, Joe, and are first in the NFC West. And they've done it mostly without their starting quarterback, who they paid handsomely this offseason. They've done it mostly without George Kittle, Hall of Fame tight end, who's now back, and the running game might be back because of it. They're now doing it without their future Hall of Famer in Fred Warner, and another potentially future Hall of Famer in Nick Bosa. And they're 5-2. Pretty freaking incredible. And we're talking about right now whether or not the 49ers should put Brock Purdy on ice. Well, we're making the executive decision on the roast to say, you know what, as a show, we're putting Brock on the shelf. All right, we're holding Brock out for the rest of the season to get healthy, and Mac Jones is our guy going forward. And Niner fans, if that's the case, I throw this at you, 888-957-9570. If Mac Jones is the guy going forward, what's the ceiling with this team? I said NFC Championship game. What say you?
I'm not ready to go that far. They got to get some of their reinforcements back. They need to get Ricky Pearsall back. We need to see George Kittle play for a month. You know, I still have questions as, you know, is he on a pitch count? Is he able to, you know, go a month without re-injuring himself?
I said, and this is the biggest hypothetical because I get it. You're going to laugh at me when if I say, well, what if they stay healthy? Because clearly they can't stay healthy and that's all of it. But in this hypothetical situation, I'm saying if all things break their way health-wise,
sure,
and you can keep Mac Jones upright, I do think they can get to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, I would say playoffs.
Okay.
For me, I think they can get to the playoffs. But even then, I don't think it's a slam dunk. Like right now, they're 5-2. They got 10 games left. They got to go at least 5-5 to get to 10 wins. I think 9, maybe you're in. 10, you probably are in.
All right, so let's break it down right now. I got it all.
Yeah.
Packers 4-1 by virtue of win percentage. 4-1-1, excuse me, because I got the tie. Are first in the conference.
No. Just you don't have to go through the division. I'm just telling you
right
now.
I'm just telling you.
I know, but look, the last couple years in the NFC, 10 wins has been the kind of like the line. You get to 10, you're either on the cusp of in or the cusp of out.
I'm telling you right now, so if you extrapolate that, that would get you in. Because right now, the team that's on the outside looking in is the 4-2 Chicago Bears. And you got every single team basically at 5-2 above them. Rams, Seahawks, Lions, Bucks, Eagles, Niners, all at 5-2. They would, again, if we're extrapolating what's going on right now, they would all be in the playoffs.
So
it's the top seven seeds.
Right, like they would have to go 5-5 is kind of how I'm viewing it. Mm-hmm. That gets you to, no, look, you could lose a tiebreaker at 10-7 and not get in. You could. Could you get in at 9-8? Maybe. But you would need a lot of help.
God, those wins against the Seahawks and Rams are coming up huge right now.
Humongous.
It's massive. They're undefeated in the division, and I think it looks like the Cardinals are a dead team walking. They've lost 5 in a row.
Yeah, but you know they're going to win a game down the stretch, and you don't want it to be the game against you in November, right?
I mean, so you really hate to see Mac Jones end your season like they did. They've just been on a skid ever since. It's tough.
So they got the Texans this Sunday, all right? And I don't know what to make of the Texans. You got the New York Giants. You know, Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo have a thing going right now.
You just said, I don't know what to make of the Texans. I think they're not very good.
Okay.
Through seven, I think I could finally say that through, they had the bye, so through 6 weeks for them of total play, they're 2-4. They're not a very good team.
Yeah, well, the guy
CJ Stroud looks like a deer in headlights back there.
Look, the guy that was putting so much pressure on Michael Penix is not going to play for the next 2 weeks at minimum. And that's Bryce Huff. So I have a hard time saying that this Niner defensive line is going to push around anyone right now, even if it's a beleaguered Texans line. So that's fine. But Texans, Giants, the Giants, like right now their offense is cooking. Then you get the Rams, Cardinals, that's back-to-back division games, Panthers, and I know we can laugh at the Panthers. They've been tough all year.
The Panthers are 4-3. The Panthers are winning right now. The last time they had a winning record...
Saying.
This late in the season was 2019.
So
it's been 6 years.
If I'm going to this 5-5, like that's how you would have to finish the season. Carolina on a Monday night, it could be their Super Bowl. And then you get Cleveland Browns at Cleveland on a short week. That's a tough one. And then the bye. So this team's going to be tired. So let's count the games.
There's no gimmies. Yeah.
2, 3, 4, 5. You have 6 games before the bye. If you can go 3-3, I think that's great. But again, you got to get reinforcements back.
I'm getting
Ricky Pearsall, the knee, I'm very worried about this. You need playmakers. Juwan Jennings is kind of like all over the place right now. And to think that Kendrick Bourne is going to sustain his excellence is probably foolish.
And Brandon Ayuk, I'm not expecting any. I'm not.
What if you get one high ankle sprain from CMC?
Yeah. Then what? Then are you in the market for a running back, Joe? Which, again, a couple weeks now till the NFL trade deadline. These are the questions that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan in the front office are talking about.
So I look at this year's Niners team, and I kind of view it in the way the Warriors were the couple years prior. Like, get to the playoffs and let's see what happens. You get to the playoffs, that's a hell of an accomplishment. What a fun year. And then, look, anything can happen. They're one-game samples. You know, how healthy are you? Does the ball bounce your way? You know, could you get anyone back? Are you making a deal at the deadline for somebody? Like, these are all the things I don't know right now. But I know this. If you lose the next 2 games before the deadline, because you have 2 games before the deadline here, I just don't know if I'm John Lynch how much I'm willing to surrender for a rental, how much I'm willing to surrender for the future. I think these are legitimate questions as you're balancing things out. I don't want to give up on this year. That's not what I'm doing.
No.
But you also have to be big picture about this, and you need to understand that, like, they got to have weapons on offense. Like, let's say hypothetically, first round, okay? Detroit doesn't get the number one seed for whatever reason. It's the Eagles, let's just say. Or
right
Tampa.
Now, it's the Packers.
Okay,
yes.
Let's say it's the Packers. You feel good about going to Detroit week one in the wild card round?
What if Detroit comes to you and you win the division?
Yeah, I think that's a very difficult matchup to hold them under 40.
I'd feel better, though, if they're on natural grass outside.
Joe.
No, I'm just being, we're playing this
Montgomery,
game out, Joe.
Gibbs, I'm just giving you, like, pain. They have weaponry. I just don't know if you can keep up with that firepower.
You might not be able to, but I feel a whole hell of a lot better at home than I would in that dome in Detroit.
Sure.
Willard was making a great point about
sure.
this yesterday. The fact that the Falcons had both of those wins at home these last 2 weeks against the Commanders and then the Bills, there is something to that team and Bijan and Drake London and Darnell Mooney and even Penix. Like, they felt probably faster at home and more comfortable. And then they went on the road to Sunday Night Football and just looked awful.
I'm picking probably the worst matchup for the Niners. But, like, the Detroit Lions just came here in the NFC Championship game a couple years ago. And you know that they've got something bitterness, you know, stored up and try to basically slay the ghosts.
Sure, and Aiden Hutchinson would be a problem on that defensive line.
I'm picking
line
one
and,
matchup.
No.
Like, if it was Tampa, I actually think that's a 50-50 shot.
Oh, I'd love to have Tampa.
Right?
If we're stacking it right now in the NFC and we're doing the hierarchy and we're talking about this team right now because the 49ers on October 21st are 5-2, first in the NFC West, and they've done it basically without all their studs. It's pretty incredible, the coaching job from not only Kyle Shanahan, but Robert Saleh. And I'll give Brant Boyer, the special teams coordinator, some love too, because any money has been money. But the 49ers, you know, you got the Eagles. And I still think everyone has the Eagles as...
I still think they're really good.
Yeah, just look what they did last week against a really good Vikings
personnel
defense.
We could argue about how good Jalen is as a passer. Their personnel is amazing.
Looked like a good passer last week. Again, when he's on, he is on, Joe.
Devontae and H.A. And,
by the way...
Look, I know Saquon hasn't had a great year. He's still ridiculous.
Devontae Smith, it's so funny, the juxtaposition, his body compared to A.J. Brown. Because when Devontae Smith is like in his hoodie, he looks like a 12-year-old. He does his frame. He's listed at like 6 foot, like a buck 70.
And then Goddard's like... a freaking...
Oh, he's a freight train.
Dude, he's humongous. He looks like Frankenstein.
He is. He's like George the Kittle. These tight ends are just monsters. Massive individuals. So you got the Eagles there. Okay. Could the Niners beat the Eagles in a one-game do-or-die situation? Yeah, I think they could. Would I put money on it? Probably not. It'd be tough. It'd be very difficult.
You know who I'd love to get? The Cowboys.
What? And you and everybody else.
I'm like, that's a team that I think could make the playoffs.
I mean,
Cowboys are fascinating, Sammy. Dak is looking amazing.
He's having
this
a great year.
He's looking awesome.
You have to give them credit.
But their defense is just not
so
good.
Like, I think it's really matchup dependent. So for me to say, like, hey, the Niners can get to the NFC Championship game, yeah, like if I paint the scenario of you get Dallas and somehow you get a banged up Green Bay team after that.
What if you get the Rams? What if you get the Rams or the Seahawks? Hey,
honestly,
divisional games are different.
They are different. I would love to avoid the divisional games if at all possible. Mike McDonald is a great coach that no one talks about. That defense is flying around.
I'm trying to think divisional games. Recently, the most recent one was against the Seahawks, correct? They beat them, Geno Smith, Pete Carroll, at Levi's Stadium. Prior to that, it was the Rams.
Yes.
NFC Championship game. You were there. You're at both of them, I'm assuming. Yeah. They lost that one at SoFi Stadium.
And before that, it was the NFC Championship game, Seahawks, Niners, up in Seattle. Like, that would be the last place I would want to play.
Yeah, no.
This sounds insane. I would rather play in Detroit than go up into Seattle. It's a house of horrors.
What?
It is.
No, I'd rather play Sam Darnold, I think, than Jared
Goff. No, of course
Goff.
I'd rather play that team. I'm just talking about the environment.
Niners been playing really well at Lumen Field the last few times they went
they
up
really
there.
Yes,
playoffs are playoffs, but, you know, I think ever since that, I think 2020 they lost up there. But 2019 onward, I think that 2020 game is the only time they've lost.
Bizarre stuff happens there in the playoffs. Like, bizarre things just happen.
Well, you know what's interesting?
The Marshawn run, what they did against us.
I'm looking at January
4th. Maybe I'm still jaded.
I'm looking at January 4th, and again, it's early here. It's October 21st.
The TBD game?
Seahawks-Niners could be for the division, which would be fascinating on a multitude of levels.
Do we owe Sam Darnold an apology?
We'll see. How about that? We'll see.
He's been really good.
He is. He's been playing really good regular season football for the last 2 years. We'll see.
Like, I think I'm ready to just say, like, I just think he's a solid, good player.
He's solid right now, and he's playing really good football.
I think
we saw the when push came to shove last year, though, Joe, those two games against the Lions.
Oh, you can't unsee it.
And then against the Rams. But it was awful.
But the Vikings would take him back in a heartbeat. And for Seattle to move off Geno and to get Sam Darnold, they made the right move there.
And Mike McDonald, quite frankly, moving off Pete Carroll prior to that. It was the right move.
Yeah.
It is. As
if Mike McDonald was an offensive coach, I think we would talk about him the way we talk about Kevin O'Connell and Sean McVay, because he's a little more established, but I think he's awesome.
There is some bad football teams right now with no future. I was just looking at some of the comments from some of the head coaches and some of these franchises, like Pete Carroll. They're 2-5 right now, the Raiders, basically saying, like, yeah, I thought we'd be further along at this point. I don't want to hear my head coach saying that if I'm a fan of a team. I thought we'd be further along than we are at this point. Pete, you're 73, dude. What were you expecting? This is a loser franchise that you're taking over. You thought you're immediately going to be winning? No, you're not. He looks lost right now. For a guy that has all the enthusiasm, even at 73, it looks like Las Vegas has sucked his soul away, which it has been known to do at times, has it not, Joe?
There was a guy I follow now on Instagram. He's this old war vet, and he's a diehard Raider fan.
Oh, poor
And
guy.
He does the victory plunge into his backyard pool.
Oh, that guy's
pool.
Funny. I've seen him,
And it's like 31-0, and Mahomes is on the sideline in the third quarter, baseball cap on the sidelines, and he's like, look at this! Look at this! What a game! What a game! We just give up 4 carries for Genty in the first half. We're down 20. The guy is just hilarious.
I saw something. I thought I, is this the right stat that the Chiefs had as many first downs in that game as the Raiders had plays ran? I swear to God. It was like 30 or something.
God, I hate the Chiefs.
It was ridiculous. The Chiefs are back, by the way. Vince in the City, we'll get to you after we get to Shark Week because it's Baldy time.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, it's like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
And he is presented by our proud partner, Golden State Lumber and Showroom, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. And he joins us now on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. Now we got Baldy in for his weekly visit here on Tuesdays. And Baldy, we'll start off right here as the Jaws music is just getting me more and more pumped up. It's great. That game on Sunday night, Baldy, what was more impressive to you? The fact that Christian McCaffrey finally, for the first time all season long, looked like the CMC of old on the ground? Or the fact that they held the number one rushing offense in the NFL, the Atlanta Falcons, to less than 100 yards?
Nah, it's hard to rank that, Joe, because both were really impressive. And, you know, McCaffrey hasn't looked like that since 2023. Pick a week. So it's been 2 years since he looked like that. So that was impressive. But that is a great rushing offense. I mean, they were great last year. I mean, that offensive line, outside of the right tackles, the same guys that played.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Last year, same guys that ran for 200 yards against Buffalo the week before, and to shut Bijan down and not let him get an explosive run with minus Fred, minus Nick. I hope I don't have to even mention that anymore. I mean, it's still hard to realize Fred's not in there, but I mean, the way that Taylor Bethune played and, you know, D. Winters, the whole group, I mean, it was impressive what they did. I mean, they, you know, like, I watch some of these games, and these linebackers are sitting back, and they're just catching blocks. And they're wondering why these running backs are getting 5 and 6 and 7 yards a carry. Like, the 49ers didn't play that way. They just attacked the line of scrimmage. And that's how you got to play. I mean, that's how Fred played, you know, for 8 years. But that's how you got to play the game. You can't let these double teams and these combo blocks of these guys start moving your down linemen and, you know, and all of a sudden you get picked off. And next thing you know, they're like Christian was all night long. He's on his way to the safety. Like, you let that happen and Bijan's going to run for 150 yards.
What was it about Christian's game that was so mesmerizing? What was it, the offensive line play? Was it his vision? I loved it, just how his feet were just explosive and he was gliding through holes. And I felt like he was finishing runs and getting to that second and third level. But for you, Brian, what was so different about this week? Why were they so good?
I thought Trent played his best game. all year. I thought Trent was really good. All right, so he looked different than he's looked in any game. Now, he might, you know, he might question my opinion on that. It's okay. But, I mean, I thought movement-wise, I thought he was the best he's been. You know, they lost their center, so, they, you know, you lose a starting center. You know, Hennessy comes in there, he plays well. But I thought, like, if you look at that second touchdown run of McCaffrey, like, he stopped at the four. And he powers his way into the end zone. And then the other touchdown run from the one, I mean, honestly, the crease is 6 inches. It's a 6-inch crease. And he sees it like this, and he's right through it. So I thought his vision, Joe, to your point, was spot on. Like, I don't think he missed a cut. And I remember last year when he was struggling, I saw him in Green Bay a week after I broke him down, and he missed a big hole. And, you know, like, you know, some of these guys watch this stuff, and, you know, they roll their eyes probably. But McCaffrey, he seeked me out. He's like, you were right, Baldy, man. I missed that last week. Like, he was watching it, you know. But I can't find a play yet last week where he missed a cut, where he missed the opening. So that – and then the other point is, like, when he's jumping, when he's literally jumping through holes, like, I feel like that's the explosive step that we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I thought Shanahan adjusted for what we've seen in the last couple of years. I don't want to get too nerdy about it. You're the expert, not me. But it was less of the outside zone and more of the power football between the tackles. They even gave a stat at halftime. 60 yards between the tackles is the most that McCaffrey's had going back to 2022, and that was for a whole game, but that he had accomplished that in one half. So stylistically, did you notice something different than what Shanahan did, and should they keep doing it?
Well, they're in eye formation a lot. You know, Juice was dotting the eye. He was dotting the eye with Juice. And so, you know, and just getting Kittle out there, not that he played great and, you know, he had like pancake blocks or anything like that, but it's just something about when Juice and Kittle are working in concert together and how well they know each other on the move. And I think that's a comfort level, honestly, for Christian, seeing both those guys on the field for the first time all year. There was a cutback to the right and Kittle was in motion and, you know, he got Leonard Floyd and, you know, I kind of hooked him, whatever. And McCaffrey saw it and he just cut right off. And I just think sometimes you see 85 and 44 out there. There's a real comfort. I mean, I don't think that's guesswork. I mean, I just think that's a real thing.
Talking to Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast, Spadoni and Chasky, courtesy of River Islands. And talking about the offensive line, Matt Hennessy, what did you see from him when he filled in for Jake Brendel? And not to say that, you know, he's going to take over and take his role, but, I mean, the offensive line continued to look good when he was out there. He was pulling McCaffrey into the end zone. They were talking about on the broadcast saying it should have been a penalty. I was like, to hell with that. If we got the tush push, we should be able to pull these guys in, right, Baldy? But what did you see from Matt Hennessy taking over for Jake Brendel, who's going to be out for the next few weeks with a hamstring strain?
Well, you know, I mean, I've known Matt. He went to Temple. So I used to go over there and, you know, Matt Rule was a coach there when he was there. And I'd go over and watch practice. And so I've known Matt since then. And then, you know, he was drafted by the Falcons. You know, the irony is, you know, he gets his shot against the Falcons, whose defensive front is really good. I mean, they got some powerful guys inside. He was left one-on-one. I always thought Matt was a try-hard guy, but he was undersized for the NFL. I mean, that's why, honestly, he moved on from Atlanta. But he's a smart kid. He understands the game. You can have real football conversations with Matt. He understands it. And he has to rely on his intelligence. And, you know, he's not a big guy, but he's got leverage. And so, you know, you see him, like, he's just trying to let some of these defensive tackles walk him back as slow as possible, just giving up ground grudgingly. And so, but he's lived on quickness. That's kind of his game. You know, he's undersized, but he's got good quickness. And so, he understands leverage. So I thought he went in there and he played about as well as I've seen Matt play, be honest with you, in that game last week.
Yeah, I think we're all pleasantly surprised. It's 3rd and 13, 3rd and 14. They're up 13-10. It's late in the game. They're in the middle of a 5.5-minute drive, and you have a pass play where Kittle's coming across the middle, and he kind of fills this little area in the middle of the field. And Mac just ever so looks at him with the face mask and brings the linebacker over and then rips a perfect throw to CMC that gets him a first down. I thought that was the play of the game for Mac Jones. How well did he play in this game, Baldy?
Well, you're exactly. I mean, you're describing it right. Caden Ellis was a linebacker that literally boxed. He was looking to box Kittle. And as soon as Mac Jones saw Caden Ellis turn to see the crosser of Kittle coming in the middle, he ripped it. So like that, I mean, honestly, I don't know that there's a stopwatch that can time the amount, how quickly you make that decision. Like it's lickety split. And so he's reading. I mean, he's the hook curl player right there, you know, in that zone. And as soon as he sees Caden Ellis, you know, turn to box Kittle, he goes right to McCaffrey. And honestly, that throw, it's a dangerous throw if it's not in the right spot. You got a safety driving on it. You got a corner behind it right there. Ellis is going to react to the ball in the air. Like it's going to be a collision right there. And it was right at the 4 yard line. But I totally agree. I mean, that's third down, as you're saying, Joe. And, you know, all Atlanta's trying to do with 3 minutes to go in the game is hold them to a field goal and then give them, you know, give Penix one more shot to go win the game with a touchdown.
Baldy, what a game from Bryce Huff. I mean, this guy was flying all over the place. The speed is real. They were trying to chip him. They were trying to double block him. Wasn't working. He was getting to Penix and making him uncomfortable. But then, as is the case for a lot of the Niners games, on a Monday, we get the news he's going to be out for a couple weeks due to a hamstring strain. I know. The hits keep coming. What did you see from Bryce Huff, and how big of a loss, obviously, is that for the next couple weeks?
Well, he's our best pass rusher. And I got to admit, like I texted my friend in Philly. You know, he was signed as a free agent for $51 million by the Eagles last year. And they just didn't know how to use him. It didn't fit their system or what Vic Fangio likes. So it wasn't a knock on Bryce. They're just asking him to drop into coverage and play outside linebacker. He is a pass rusher. Now, he's playing a little bit more than that. But first of all, Salah found him. Salah developed him in New York. He was trying to build his, you know, an eight-man front up in New York with eight guys. Like, honestly, you know, he just wanted eight barracudas up there that just got after the quarterback. And he was one of them. And he got to 10 sacks 2 years ago. But I think Salah loves him. I think he gets confidence from knowing how Salah's going to use him and move him around. But, you know, they knew who he was. I mean, they were chipping him and doubling him and putting guys on him. He was still winning. But, you know, that the one hit on Penix, like, I'm surprised he got up like he did. I thought he might have fractured some ribs as hard as he hit him. But he's looking, you know, he's left-handed, he's looking the other way, and Huff is coming to his backside. That's a big loss, though. They don't have anybody else. Because I was just texting somebody about Getoff. They were asking about Aiden Hutchinson last night. And I'm like, you can't win the 100-meter dash if you don't have a great takeoff. Like, his takeoff is – it's just like, you know, there's guys in Denver. There's a couple guys in this league that are at the top of the charts, and I don't follow those metrics. I could just see it. But he's got an unbelievable takeoff, and he really times the snap, and he really puts the tackles in a bind because he's on him so quickly. No matter how – unless you're Lane Johnson or Trent, like most of these guys are going to struggle against him.
I mean, how do they fill this void? Like, there was a play before the end of half, and, you know, there's 17 seconds to go. Penix takes a shotgun snap. Huff, like, stunts around the whole formation and then forces Penix to throw a lollipop ball out of bounds that lands right with 10 seconds. They run a 10-second runoff because of the illegal grounding, and they don't get a field goal attempt. Like, that's a lost play that takes points off the board. Huff made that whole play. How do they find a way to offset this loss?
And, you know, and honestly, that play, you know, he's the left end on that play, Joe, that you're describing. And he basically is just an instinct. Like, he came around, it wasn't taught, but he saw Penix, you know, in his eyes. And he just instinctively came around and then had that burst to him. He got his hands up and, you know, forced the intentional grounding, got him out of field goal range. So, I mean, but, it's like Nick, it's like Fred, like, there is no replacement on the roster that can do the things that Bryce is doing in this. Now, maybe Gibson gets a shot, and I don't know who else is on the practice squad or other guys that are out there. Honestly, I think Ukwuanu, I'm probably screwing up his name.
Ukwuanu.
Like, he played really good, but he doesn't have that type of a takeoff.
No, he's not a bend guy. He's a power bull rush guy.
Yeah, he's a power. Yeah, he's a power. But they don't have another guy quite like that. That's why they signed him, honestly. Like, now, I'm sure Salah went to bat for him even after the disappointment in Philadelphia, which I don't even know if he had a sack last year. But they didn't use him right. He looked out of place. But this is the perfect, you know, front for him. Now, they, you know, Now, to Salah's credit, like, he went deep in the bag on some pressures the other day that we haven't seen from any defensive coordinator since Salah left. And he didn't really do some of the stuff in New York either. But he had some good pressures, some overload pressures, some free hitters coming at Penix. Like, he did a pretty good job of creating pass rush. Now, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be vulnerable on the back end if you don't get home on some of this stuff. But I thought they affected Penix pretty good.
We're talking to Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast, Odyssey NFL Insider. And Baldy, we actually brought it up yesterday. I don't mean to kick the guy on his way out of here, but I don't know if they win that game with Nick Sorensen as their DC last year. I don't know.
There's not a chance in hell.
I'm just telling you. What Salah did, can you speak to that, Baldy?
Salah is a motivating guy, period. Okay, now I'm not saying Nick isn't. Most coordinators are pretty emotional. The guy on the other side in Atlanta is good, Jeff Ulbrich. They were all on Salah's staff together in New York, you know. They know each other. Ulbrich is really good at what he does. But, you know, just watch. Like, I didn't see a game last year, not one, where they pursued like they did, this weekend against Atlanta. Like, that pursuit was, you can't watch that game and not see it. I don't care if you're a football fan, whatever you are. Like, they had seven guys sprinting to the football every play. Like, that's a mindset. I don't think they had that mindset under Nick. So that was last year. I mean, it was hard to watch last year. I used to say on this show a lot of times last year, Joe, like, they were hard to watch because they looked slow. But they played slow. Yeah. They didn't sprint to the football last year. I mean, it was a disgusting game they lost to Seattle on the final drive. Like, there was no – Nick went out of the game. There was just no effort. Like, the effort they played with was a winning effort the other night. That's a good football team. That's a talented team. You hold that team to 10 points, the lowest point total of the season. You could be real proud of yourself after that one.
Yeah, and I thought, like, random guys are stepping up. Malik Mustafa, big hit on Algier. Tatum Bethune, yep. Green dot helmet. I mean, I thought he looked great. You obviously yep. referenced Chase Lucas and Darrell Luter. Like, even the biggest Niner fans, like, who are some of these guys? And yet they're all in positions to make plays. Who's the guy for you on that defense that, as you were watching the film, you were like, wow, this guy might be a player for them?
Well, I'm just impressed by Michael. Like, he's just his size and power. Like, he closed the back door and a couple cutbacks. Like, he's just going to get better. Now, he's got to learn pass rush. You got to learn how to, you know, I mean, it's just how to get your hands on guys, how to see the man that's blocking you or the combination of guys and how to elude them and how to crush the pocket. But I mean, he plays the game so physically and he's so strong. Like, he's just an impressive specimen when you see him on film. And he plays, you know, he plays hard. He's healthy. Like, he's an impressive guy. But, I mean, the hit by Mustafa, like, that guy, honestly, like, Ronnie Lott would get excited watching that guy going to hit people. John Lynch is probably spilling his coffee up there in the booth, you know, watching some of those hits. Like, the game's changed, obviously, since John played or Ronnie played. You know, there's a lot of things you can't do. But when you can put one right to the solar plexus and knock the living wind out of somebody, you know, and stop Tyler Algier at 225 pounds in his tracks and make him go backwards, like, you can't help but get excited.
No, absolutely. And it felt like for the first time all season, I really saw the 49ers be the more physical team on both sides of the trenches. And it was refreshing yep. to see for Niner fans not only dominate the run, but dominate the other team, because all this talk about Bijan, who still had a pretty solid game.
Pretty special.
He is. For Bijan, though, that was like a C-plus performance for him, because he's just, the standard is so high with him. But, Baldy, I wanted to talk about the quarterbacks here. Brock Purdy, they talked about it on the broadcast, Melissa Starks, NBC, about the right big toe for Purdy, right underneath that ligament being torn. He's day-to-day, I guess, according to Diana Rossini of The Athletic. He tried to work out on Sunday night, didn't feel great. They're calling it day-to-day, and it's not looking like he's going to start this week against the Texans. Like, where are we at with Brock Purdy going forward? And I don't know. Like, would they just be better off shutting this guy down going forward, Baldy, and just sticking with Mac?
I don't know, because I don't know. You know, just there's so many different various levels of this turf toe injury. I've had it, and I don't know what degree mine was, but the thing that is really frustrating about it is, like, it's ended a lot of guys' careers, to be honest with you. So and I could go through the history of some of the guys that whose careers ended because of it. But like, but it's really hard to practice with. That's the thing. Like, it's not going to feel great, and you can get through a game with it. But the next day, like just walking, like you're going to walk like you're an old man. You're going to walk with a limp. You're going to take the pressure off the toe. You're never going to stop thinking about it. Every step, you're going to feel it. Now, until that goes away, like I don't know that they can put them back out there because you have a great chance in this business because of all the things that can happen on any given play of re-injuring it. And you just don't know. You know, that's the last thing you want because then you're going to be done for the season. So the more time you can give it, the better the prognosis is going to be that you're going to be able to get back out there on the field. And if they were just horrible, you know, which they clearly aren't, you know, if they were just horrible at that position, then you'd try to push them out. But the fact that Mac is playing really smart and playing really good football, like it makes it a little bit easier and a little more palatable to just go, let's give this thing another week. Let's give this, instead of day to day, it should be like week to week. Because the day-to-day thing is going to change it. It's not going to change in a day. So that's just, you know, verbiage. But honestly, if your quarterback is playing as well as Mac is playing, then I think you have a luxury right here to try and get this thing as healthy as possible.
Baldy, you keep referencing how well Mac's playing. Like, for those that are out there, how well is he playing? The stats aren't gaudy. They don't have a lot of weapons right now. They really could use Ricky Pearsall back. But, yeah. But from your eyes, how well is Mac playing?
Well, he's finding the open receiver, which is not easy to do. And there's a lot of difficult throws in this offense over the middle of the field that you got to make. And he made a couple of those. Like, it wasn't a lot. You know, obviously, you know, Bourne didn't have a big day. Nobody really did. You know, he really couldn't get the ball to Kittle in any ways. So, I mean, they're just limited right now by where you can go with the ball. And they didn't get the deep shots down the field. I mean, that defense has played great now. I mean, all they did was add defense through the draft and free agency to bolster that thing. They're a top 10 defense for a reason. Like, they're not giving you those shots over the top that we had seen in other games where Bourne's getting, you know, 150 yards or whatever. Like, that's not there in that defense. So you kind of take what that's why Christian had such a big day catching the ball. You got to go other places with it right now. And even the throws to Christian, you can complete all the passes to him. It doesn't mean he's going to do a lot with it after the catch. Like, it's location where he can really catch it on the run. And that's what you're seeing is you're putting it in the right location where Christian can make guys miss in front of him and not have to stop to, you know, turn around to catch the ball.
He had a really nice third down play where he held the ball just long enough and was scrambling toward the left sideline and then did a lob pass at the last second as the linebacker broke toward him to dump it off to Christian McCaffrey to sustain that drive and get them in position to score a touchdown. If Mac plays like he's been playing throughout this year, can they make the playoffs?
Well, I think Seattle's in Los Angeles are really good. I mean, you're going to see those teams again. You know, you got the one win against the Rams, which is great. You got the win against Arizona, which is great. So you're good so far in the division. But those games are probably going to decide. I don't know if they're going to get three teams in the playoffs, you know, because the NFC North is highly competitive right now. You've seen what Detroit did last night. And that was with a completely backup, you know, secondary that they played against Tampa. And some of those kids, literally, I had to go find, you know, who Eric Hallett was and Nick Whiteside. Like, I didn't know who some of these guys were. And they shut that team down last night. So I feel like it's going to be, I mean, look, they keep winning these games. Like, okay, if you find a way to win five more games, you're going to get to the playoffs. But every game is going to probably be a nail biter, 13-10, like you're describing, you know, deep into the fourth quarter. You know, we had to make a play, and they made the play. So, like, all these games, that's what it's going to come down to.
Baldy, one more for you here before we get you out. George Kittle, you referenced him earlier. I mean, is it as simple as the running game goes as Kittle goes? Like, it can't be just that the blocking tight end, and I know he's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best to ever do it. But, God, I guess maybe I even underestimated how badly that line missed him because it was incredible. Is it as simple as Kittle's back so the running game's back?
No, it's not. I mean, it's easy to make that assessment because he's in the lineup for the first time and McCaffrey has the best game. But I didn't feel like he was the difference maker. I thought, honestly, like what Trent did in that game, because I used to say to McCaffrey, I used to tell him, like, no matter where the play starts, it always finishes behind Trent. You know, and a couple times it did the other day. Like, he was just moving bodies, like very few, maybe Penei Sewell. There's a couple guys in this league that can really move big bodies, and Trent was on his game. So there was a couple runs that were – and they ran the toss crack. They got Trent out there. They got some guys out in the perimeter, and they hit a couple of those runs. But, you know, to your point, you know, Joe, like, you know, they ran between the tackles a bunch, and I just thought the blocking was much better up front too, you know, and – you know, and some of the motions that Kyle was doing to get some of the guys out of the box and make it a little easier to pick them off in the run game. But I thought it was more than just Kittle out there for Christian. It was clearly the best he's looked in 2 years.
All right, Baldy, I lied. One more, and then you're out of here. We're giving away a pair of passes to the new Springsteen movie, Springsteen, yeah. Deliver Me From Nowhere, plus a $100 gift card. Right after 8 o'clock, so in a couple minutes here, people got to be locked in. You got to have a Bruce Springsteen story. The boss, Baldy, what's your Bruce Springsteen story?
I got a bunch. I tell you what, I was at San Siro Stadium in Milan, the largest state, you know, soccer stadium in all of Italy.
Milan.
Obviously, you know, crazy soccer country, right? So, you know, I knew all the guys in the band. I knew the manager for Bruce, Terry McGovern. And so I got my boys. In fact, I think Eric Shanks, who runs Fox Sports, I think he came to the show. So we got him all these passes and everything. And they're in the middle of this European heat wave. They hadn't had rain all spring, no rain, right? So anyways, we got our cooler. We're set up right in the front of the stage. And we got the whole setup. We're ready to rock and roll, man. And about five songs into the show, out of nowhere, it starts to drizzle. And people are like opening their mouths and sticking their tongue out, trying to catch raindrops, right? About two songs later, like it is in a downpour out of nowhere. It hadn't rained in 2 months. Downpour in San Siro Stadium. It's the place is going bananas. And Bruce called, like I knew the guys that were in charge of the set list. He calls an audible, a Kyle Shanahan audible. And he says he plays Creedence Clearwater Revival. Who will stop the rain? And the rain stopped. And the whole stadium started saying, Odeo, like, he's God. He's God. He can stop the rain. He can bring the rain and he can stop the rain. And they're like shouting out, Odeo, Odeo, to Bruce Springsteen right there. To see how that rain, like, it was mystical how it started and it was mystical how it stopped.
That's a great story. Bruce Springsteen in Italy doesn't get better than that. Hey, Baldy, good stuff. We'll do it again next week, man.
Let's do it. All right, guys.
You're the best, buddy.
There he goes. That's Brian freaking Baldinger, courtesy of River Islands, with a great Bruce Springsteen story, which leads us to the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
49ers announced yesterday that Bryce Huff sustained a hamstring injury and will miss the next two games as a result. Head coach Kyle Shanahan said Huff's injury occurred on one of the last two plays of the game on Sunday night. Just brutal. And center Jake Brendel will also be out for 2 weeks with his own hamstring injury that he sustained in the second quarter on Sunday night. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. All right, coming up next, right out of the break, your chance to win Springsteen tickets to the movie and a $100 gift card. Again, right out of the break, don't go anywhere, plus Bonte Hill in studio for the next 2 hours, brought to you by Fremont Bank, which is here for you and here for good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.